Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to today's episode of the Conversations Podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we're so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Thank you for listening today. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome Owens Community College professor and program facilitator of exercise science, Jamie Williamson. With more than 30 years of experience in health and education, she teaches courses in exercise physiology, strength and conditioning, and personal wellness. Jamie is also a mentor in Owens Honors Program. Jamie holds a Master of Science in Exercise Physiology from Eastern Michigan University, a Bachelor of Education from the University of Toledo, and has completed undergraduate coursework in nursing at Ohio State. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist and a tactical strength and conditioning facilitator through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. Earlier this year, Jamie was awarded the American Association of Community Colleges 2024 Dale P. Parnell Distinguished Faculty Award. Awarded to select faculty who make a difference in community college classrooms across the country, this highly competitive national designation honors faculty who are active in their students' lives and in their college's activities that ensure student success. Jamie is an important part of Owens Community College, and we're so grateful that she agreed to join us for a conversation. Hi, Jamie, and thank you for being our guest today. Jamie, welcome to the Conversations Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. I want to share how excited that I am to have you because I'm particularly proud of our faculty and staff. And you have done such a wonderful job. You're a wonderful representative of your program. Not only are we saying that, others are saying it too, because I have the opportunity to congratulate you again on receiving the American Association of Community Colleges Dale P. Parnell Faculty Distinction Recognition this year. And so we're incredibly proud of you and are thankful that you agreed to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very honored and humbled.
Well, you're such a wonderful ambassador for our college and for your program. It's only natural to ask that you'd be available to talk to us today. And so one of the things we do with all of our guests on the podcast is ask them about their journey to and through higher education. And for your college experience, you were at Ohio State University as well as University of Toledo for your undergraduate degree. Can you talk a little bit about that decision-making process and particularly when you decided to pivot?
There was no other option for me. I just knew I was going to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of ingrained in me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I liked it initially, but soon realized it was just too big mm-hmm. for me. I tend to thrive more in a more intimate environment, probably why I like Owens mm-hmm. so well. I like to get to know my instructors and develop connections with others. And UT was still large, but compared to Ohio State, it was a lot smaller. I also did a bit of jumping around in majors, mm-hmm. trying to find exactly my best fit, and that ended up being at University of Toledo also.
Now, you said that you knew that you were going to Ohio State, and so it sounded like there was a full-scale indoctrination process in your home.
Yes, Ohio State all the way. So that's just, you know, and my parents hadn't gone to college, so mm-hmm. it was just like, if you're gonna go, go big or go home. So that's what I did. And it was exciting, but it was honestly probably about 60% of my high school graduating mm-hmm. class went there, and I could walk on campus the whole week and not see a single person yep. from home that I knew. And it just, I made friends there, but it was just too big.
Now, you started off in nursing. Mm-hmm. Now, what made you change your mind to go from nursing?
We were in the lab practicing, you know, basic skills mm-hmm. and just touching other people. But I still touch people, sweaty people in my line of work now. But I think I knew I wanted to be in the health field, but mm-hmm. I think I wanted to keep people healthy. Mm-hmm. And so when I was sitting in between classes one time at Ohio State, I'm like, oh, I know I'm not far off from what I want to do, but this just isn't it. And at the time, the only thing I could think of was physical education. So I went into physical education and health education when I transferred to UT. And I did like that. I really liked that. And I found I really liked teaching. And I was active. I was always active. And when I was at my undergrad, I started teaching fitness classes at their continuing ed program. So I just, I've always, since I was like, I guess I was 20 at the time, started teaching fitness classes and just kind of evolved from there. I didn't even start in nursing. I kind of started in medical technology and then I had a math class at Ohio State, which was not a fun experience. So I explored majors that didn't need any more math. And I just kind of bounced around and then I settled on nursing because I tried, and I liked teaching physical education, but you know, when you graduate from college, you have all these grand ideas how you're just going to change everything, you know, people are going to respect physical educators and this is not just gym, and it didn't quite happen the way I had expected. My husband at the time was working in Dearborn. I was teaching in Defiance. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to step back. We had family, so I just kind of took a step back from my career in general. I started teaching at Monroe County Community College physical education classes, so I still was teaching fitness classes. When I finally went back for my master's 17 years later, I was kind of trying to figure out which way to go to. Did I want public health? Did I want corporate? I wasn't really sure, but I started taking classes and I actually took a strength and conditioning class. As active as I was, I never was big into weightlifting. I was always a runner and I loved it. And so I became a certified strength and conditioning specialist and started training athletes. So I really liked that. It's just funny how things just kind of fall into your lap there and you go that direction. But my actual master's degree is exercise physiology.
I mean, there's something to be said for knowing that you're kind of in the right ballpark, but haven't hit the home run yet.
Yeah.
And that you really, you know, you kept trying to figure out, all righty, I know these are the strengths that I bring, no pun intended. Yeah, these are the strengths that I bring to my career. And this is where my interest is. How is it that I can land on exactly what it is I want to do? I would imagine that if you could go back in time and tell yourself then what you know now, it would just be a totally different world for you.
Yeah, I think starting at a younger age in this field, I would have worked with more athletes. But, you know, I think actually the teaching, and that's maybe why I like the coaching, because you're still teaching. I just really like to teach people what I know. About what I love and teaching these students to do what I love to do and what they love to do. That's the best of both worlds right there.
It is. Well, and I think too, there's something to be said for allowing yourself the opportunity to grow and evolve until you find what really resonates with you. Because so many times I think people have this false assumption that you all of a sudden decide this is what I'm going to do and then you go do it and then the rest is history. Totally forgetting that there's this whole exploration process where you're like, okay, this is what I like. What's out there that matches what it is I want to do every day for years and years and years. Well, that is awesome. I appreciate learning that about your story. And so you had mentioned how you began taking your graduate classes, exercise physiology, and that's kind of when the bug hit you for the strength and conditioning. And so how did your experience at Eastern Michigan, where you got your master's from, kind of shape the rest of your career?
The faculty there were just really great. And they were, you know, I was an older student. I was 36 when I went back, which at the time seemed old. Now it doesn't seem old.
It seems like spring chicken.
I know, right? But I mean, I really hadn't had any experience working with computers. So my first exercise physiology lab course in my master's program, you know, we had to write these elaborate lab reports and we needed to use Excel. And my instructor said, you know, if anybody needs help with Excel, let me know and I'll help you. So I showed up in his office and he sat me down. He's like, yeah, we'll turn on Excel. And I looked at him like, you have no idea. I don't even know what you mean by these words. So they were just very patient and just kind of helped me along the way. And the strength and conditioning instructor was just a really good resource for me too. I mean, I got my certification and he said, now you need to find a gym that does Olympic lifting and just get in there and just start practicing more and more and observing. And it just so happened that the dance studio my daughter danced at right down the street was a big gym. It used to be called Synergy Sport and Fitness. Now it's just all indoor tennis and soccer. But they did Olympic lifting there. And I walked in and I told him, I said, hey, I just got my CSCS. Do you mind if I just kind of hang out and observe? He's like, yeah, get down there because we need some help. So I was like free help for them too. And I ended up doing my internship there and worked there afterwards. So that was, you know, again, just kind of fell into this position where I got a great mentor in Todd Baden at Synergy. And just all these experiences just helped me flourish in those fields there.
It kind of all falls into place,
yeah,
right?
It does. It does.
Absolutely. So you talked a little bit about what drew you to exercise science, and you talked about how much you like coaching and teaching. What about that do you enjoy, and how were you able to kind of wrap all this up into your career today?
Whether I'm coaching a kid or training an adult client or teaching the students here, seeing that light bulb, you can see it in their eyes, like, oh, I get it. That's why we're doing it. That's what I'm feeling. I love that because so many times people just do things because they're told. I want them to understand the reasoning for it, the why, the science. And, you know, I did that even before I taught here. I'm not going to just tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you why this is we're doing it. Because if they don't have an appreciation for it, it's not going to stick with them. And with this field, I got into it because I literally want to help people. And if they don't understand the importance of it, you know, once they're not seeing you as a trainer anymore, chances are they may go back to their old ways. Not that I'm the greatest trainer in the world, but I want to help people and they need to continue it in some way, shape, or form.
I would imagine that part of what helps you be great is that you care about the people you're working with and you want to see them thrive at their best.
Absolutely.
So a lot of the listeners to the podcast may not understand what exercise science is. So can you talk a little bit about your program?
So at Owens Exercise Science, it's a good foundation. And we do some early career exploration in the program because it's a big umbrella. It's exercise physiology, it's biomechanics, it's physical therapy, occupational therapy, athletic training, sports psychology, sport nutrition. And I didn't even say the two obvious, personal training and strength and conditioning. You know, there's so much that the foundation, just like the first 2 years, they can go in any direction. You get the basis of what happens to the body when you do certain types of exercise. And then from there, you can take that into therapeutic practice or, you know, professional training practice, advanced sport practice, whatever they feel like they want to gravitate towards.
You look at institutions of higher education, and there are certain programs that are always aligned and then certain ones that might be aligned differently. And exercise science is one of those because for us, it's in healthcare. But, you know, in other institutions, you might see it with other programs. And so ours definitely has a health and wellness type focus to it. And so how have you been able to lean into your background because of that, you know, understanding that you've always wanted a career that helps people thrive and be well? And so how does that kind of come through for you in our exercise science program?
I stress to my students, and I say it the first day in class, exercise is medicine. It is preventative medicine, preventing the chronic conditions that so many people battle. But it also is every time you exercise, it's like taking a pill. It's a dose of medicine right then and there. So it actually improves, you know, your HDL and LDL in the moment you're exercising. And then with regular exercise, it continues to improve that. So it's medicine for already diagnosed chronic conditions as well. It's not just about looking good or a certain way. I mean, certainly it does, but it's so much more than that. And that's what I really try to stress with students, especially being in the School of Nursing and Health Professions. You know, we do a lot of interprofessional education. And that's a question that a lot of the other students in the other programs, they get to our table like, why is exercise science here? Well, I'll tell you. You know? So, I mean, it's just not something that people think right off the bat. They just think you're in the gym lifting weights.
So, very selfishly, I am at a point in my life where whenever I see one of those ads about longevity and science of aging and things, they always kind of pique my interest. And what we've talked about with the nursing and health professions and a lot of our programs is that with an aging population overall, a lot of our programs are even that much more important for longevity and things of that nature. What is it that you want people to know as you get older, that it's not just one phase of your life, but it really is holistic from, you know, very young to as we age? Like, how does that kind of fit in for people?
With society getting older and older, that's our population that we're going to be serving. You know, if you don't move, you lose the ability to move. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep moving. And then when people retire, they're not learning new skills. So by engaging in regular activity, you know, as an older adult, it keeps the cognitive functioning going. Memory improves. It helps with sleep. It helps with depression. And there are no side effects. It can help eliminate or reduce some medications that people are on for a whole bunch of different things. As we get older, you know, metabolism slows down. The body changes. Exercise is a great way to, even if you're not looking like you did when you were 20, you can still pretty much feel almost like you're 20. It depends on the day.
20-ish.
It depends on the weather. It depends on a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, you can stay active and have that quality of life and do the things you want to do the more that you stay active.
So one of the other things that people may not always know about Owens is that we have a very robust, thriving honors program. Mm-hmm. And you very graciously serve as a mentor in our honors program. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that's like? And how does it come through in your program in particular?
I'm really surprised how much I enjoy being an honors mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, I was asked and I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But I've really enjoyed it because I get to meet students outside of my own program because I am the mentor for the School of Nursing and Health Professions. And the honors program is a program like any other program where you have to meet certain requirements to graduate in that program. And working as an advocate and helping these students achieve those goals, they have to earn 15 points, and there's numerous ways they can do it. Mm-hmm. One of the ways they do it is by getting points through campus involvement. So I also, you know, I have things that my students do and we need volunteers for. So I can recruit honor students. They can get some things. And it's a way just to kind of, I don't know, it's making connections with other people that aren't just in my own field, this learning more about their programs, learning more about what each of them are doing and the things that they're concerned about. And when they do their honors option projects, you know, what interests them. And, you know, we get a lot of nursing students in the honors program, and there's a lot of similarities in what we're doing. And they don't realize that until we can kind of see what each other does that way.
Yeah, you kind of pull it all together. Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing that given that so many of our students have so many competing demands on their time and energy, as well as our faculty do, that, you know, people carve out that time to really kind of achieve a different level of excellence with everything that they do to be part of the program, all the activities and the projects and everything. It really speaks to a dedication that you have as a mentor, but also that our students have as participants in the program.
And I really think that that is going to stand out to future employers, that these students are willing to go above and beyond just graduating, that they took on another program and did extra work. It just shows the dedication, and I think that it's going to help them a lot in the long run with employment.
You know, our goal is to make sure that they graduate in a field in which they can earn a living and be a sustainable type of a wage. But to have something that differentiates them even further, you know, it speaks to their commitment, their work ethic, you know, and even their knowledge base in their field. So one of the things that I love about our faculty who are here at Owens is that you have real world experience. And that's one of the things that you in particular have. And so you have experience as a trainer and as a physiologist. So thinking of our faculty overall at large, how can the institution help continue to support our faculty to make sure that you're maintaining your professional development? You know, not only what you're doing now, but the things that are related to it, kind of like how you talked about interprofessional education for our students. And so how can we help make sure that we're supporting that, that we're supporting either clinical opportunities for our faculty, especially as, you know, fields are just changing all the time. How do you think we can best support our faculty in that?
I mean, I think, you know, providing those opportunities for us to get our continuing education that we need to maintain our, whether it's certifications or licensures, are important. You know, I can speak for my field. There's the certification body that I'm certified through, National Strength and Conditioning Association. There's personal training, there's strength and conditioning, there's also tactical training where we focus on training military, police, and fire. And I also have that certification. So, you know, that's not something I'm practicing every day. Right. So the opportunities to get those types of workshops and seminars, you know, to stay on top of that, even when you're not doing it every day, like the personal training and the strength and conditioning, I'm teaching my students more, but the tactical side, not not so much. So, and I would imagine other faculty too, you know, they're really honed in on their topic they're teaching, but the other parts of their field that they're not involved in every day, but still need to keep some information on, you know, just providing those opportunities to, you know, whether it's being able to go to a workshop for a weekend or, you know, paying for them.
That's always probably a good incentive.
That's probably
right?
The biggest incentive there. Oh, it's paid for. Yes, I'll go.
Absolutely. You partially answered one of the questions I had for you. What is the difference between the more commonly known strength and conditioning versus the tactical? And you said that it's for law enforcement, you know, basically first responders. And so how does that training look different?
Well, strength and conditioning in general is geared towards the athlete and their specific sport and position. Tactical is the same thing. It's just their training is, you know, it's not to win. It's not a short term. It's like, all right, we have to sustain this over long periods of time because we don't know how long this fire is going to take to get out. We don't know how many flights of stairs we're going to have to carry somebody down. We don't know how many blocks we're going to have to run after the guy that just robbed the corner store. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, there are also variables with athletes, but you know how a game is going to play out for the most part. You don't know how a real life experience, whether it's fire or, you know, in combat, is really going to play out. So you have to think of so many different variables and you're training multiple systems, where in strength and conditioning, you know, you're concerned about what the athlete needs at that moment in time. If they're a strength athlete, we're really not concerned about their cardiovascular fitness because that's not the main concern of them. We'll worry about that once they're finished being that football player, you know, so we'll just train those components very slightly. But with the tactical athletes, they do need cardiovascular endurance, but they need that strength too. So it's a little bit trickier. Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. It's just really tailored to meet the demands of their job as a tactical athlete.
How did you even find out that such a thing existed?
Well, I was married to a fireman.
Okay.
And actually, for a time, I did assessments for the Toledo Fire Department here and did their fitness assessments. That's kind of how,
how I
got into it. I had a little personal interest there. But yeah, the NSCA, they actually, when I took that certification test, they didn't even have a textbook for it yet. It was brand new when I took it. Now they have, you know, I think they're on their second edition. So it's a relatively newer field also.
But that's really fascinating. But it's another example of, you know, once you immerse yourself into your field, then you see even more opportunities that arise because of how committed and engaged you are. Yeah, that is really cool. Until I, you know, read your background, I never knew that there was that kind of specialty, but it makes sense, you know, because there's certain things that law enforcement or, you know, first responders have to do in the course of their job that, you know, most people don't have have to worry about.
Right.
So that is pretty fascinating. So you have taught in community colleges for over a decade. And you know that Owens, we believe very much about being a student-ready institution, understanding that students bring all sorts of things from their life, to the classroom environment. And it's our responsibility to kind of meet students where they are. We also know that that has changed not only over the last few years, but also the last 10. And so how are the 2025 students that we see here today at Owens different from students when you first started teaching?
I feel like the students today, they have more challenges, time constraints, transportation issues. It just seems like the students now, they have more difficulty. They have to be working. I feel like everybody struggles more just with the basic, I don't have the time that they want to put into the class, or they have transportation issues. And I think sometimes that gets in the way of how successful they really want to be and how successful they could be if they had all these resources. You know, they didn't have to work, at UPS in the middle of the night and then be there for an 8 o'clock class.
That is rough.
That's rough. That's right. And my students are real good about letting me know. And I can tell because, it's if they fall asleep in class, you don't want that, but they're there, mm-hmm. But they do. I know I did not have to contend with that. So they've got some challenges.
I know that that's a big part of why I appreciate what our faculty and staff do at Owens for our students, because there's example after example after example of a student who felt like, you know what, it's hard, but I have, a partner who's helping me out. I have, my faculty who, sees me as an individual and recognizes that I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I'm still responsible for all my work and doing, meeting my learning outcomes. But, I'm more than a number. Mm-hmm. They see me as the individual that I am. And that goes a long way. So we talked a little bit about healthcare and why exercise science is part of the School of Nursing and Health Professions. But we also know, especially with the opening of the Healthcare Education Center and the Bachelor of Science in Nursing, there's a lot of emphasis on healthcare in this region, as an employer, as a field, as a need, all of that. And the industry seems to be very pivotal in the region. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective on the healthcare industry overall, why you have loved it for your career, and why is it so important to us here at Owens and also to the region?
There's always going to be those jobs. Mm-hmm. We're always going to need people in healthcare. And exercise science in particular is growing too, as people are aging and getting chronic conditions, and their doctor, one of the things their doctor tells them to do is you need to exercise more. Mm-hmm. And, I think the healthcare field is getting better about promoting that more. I think for a long time they didn't really recognize that. They may have just set it off the cuff, but I think now they're getting better about doing that. So I think we're working better as a community.
It almost seems to me, and I don't, how there's certain things that you don't know if it's your perspective or if it truly is the greater environment that's changing. There seems to be a greater emphasis on overall health and wellness than what I remember there being 10, 20 years ago, that people are more cognizant of, the whole movement of nutrition. I mean, all of that in terms of health and wellness. Am I imagining that?
No, and I think there is. And I think some of it, I think a lot of it is good, but I think some of it too is people are finding it's an easy way to make a buck and it's not necessarily scientific information that they're mm-hmm. giving. So I think what I also try to do is educate my students in how to discern, okay, what is good information and what isn't. Just because whoever is in the video or selling the product looks really good doesn't necessarily mean that, number one, that product is doing that, or number two, that whatever they're selling is going to work for you or for your clientele, mm-hmm. whether it's an exercise or whatever. So I think people are becoming more educated about it because there is so much out mm-hmm. there, and, you know, just trying to determine, is this a good product? So they're becoming, they see the value and they're learning how to discern good information from bad information. And I think that also is going to force the healthcare system in general, because, you know, more insurance companies are offering gym memberships as part of their insurance plan, because they see that as a benefit. If our clients are healthy, then we spend less money in healthcare.
Right.
So I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. It really is beneficial. And I think people are starting to see that. And the older population too, you know, they want to exercise. They have time. Mm-hmm. They've got money. They're the ones who are looking for personal trainers. And, you know, they're retired, so they have more hours of availability. So, I mean, there's sometimes people want to just work out before or after work. Well, as a trainer, that makes for a long day. But if you can get to that population that has more free time, mm-hmm. you know, that is helpful also. But the cognitive benefits, you know, just keeping their quality of life, mm-hmm. I think is a main thing. You know, people want to enjoy their retirement, so they need to be able to hike the Grand Canyon or whatever it is they want to do. You have to train for that.
That makes perfect sense to me. Thank you so much for that. Along those same lines, when you talk about things that are evolving, technology plays a huge role in so many areas, but also exercise science. And so how has technology changed the industry?
Yeah, I think, you know, just having the availability, you know, you don't have to go to a gym anymore. You can, you know, follow an influencer. And again, you need to do your research to mm-hmm. see, all right, does this person really know what they're talking about? But yeah, it gives you more opportunities to explore different things. It gives you, you know, if transportation is an issue, you don't have to go anywhere. You can do it in your home, and you can do a lot of things without a lot of equipment, or buying a few inexpensive pieces of equipment. And they make equipment now that you can buy, you know, dumbbells and kettlebells that change weight. You don't have to buy a whole right. set. You buy one and you make a couple clicks, and it, you know, you can make it the weight that you want to work with.
Right.
So there's that's cool technology right there, you know. So you can do a lot more home-based fitness, and then with the, you know, social media, and you can do that. But yeah, you want to make sure that whoever's you're following, that it is sound science, not just yeah. a fad.
Now, you talked about a couple times now helping with critical thinking skills, that discernment, what's good information versus something that might not only not be helpful, but could be harmful. Mm-hmm. And so for people who don't have the benefit of being in class with you, how do you help them, or what advice would you give them to exercise critical thinking around health information?
I would tell them, and this is what I tell my students too, if it looks like a circus trick, it probably is not safe to do. You know, science over circus tricks. I mean, because there's a lot of things that look really cool, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to help their fitness, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's safe, and certainly not for everybody. You know, just simple, basic moves. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be tricky. If there's too much involved with it, chances are, I'm not saying it's harmful, but if it's that many steps to learn how to do it, you probably don't want to be doing that on your own. But yeah, I mean, simple. I mean, just go back to the basics, you know, walking, jogging, riding the bike, doing calisthenics, you know, good old crunches. You can do a lot of things with just doing body weight exercises without fancy equipment.
That is wonderful, and wonderful advice. So from your vantage point in exercise science, and from healthcare as a healthcare industry overall, what kind of skills or mindsets do you think students need now and long-term in that kind of job market?
I think they need to have an open mind and a willingness to keep learning, mm-hmm. because trends do change, and you have to get continuing education to maintain certification. So you always have to learn. But I think just keeping an open mind, you know, like I said, circuit tricks, I'm not saying when you see something that looks too fun, don't do it. I'm not saying that at all. Have an open mind. Let's look at that. But understanding that what works for you probably is not going to work exactly the same for somebody else. So you really have to learn how to train an individual, not just do what you've always done for yourself. And even your own workouts are going to have to change as you go through different life stages. When knees start hurting, running doesn't work anymore. You know, you have injuries and things just, you can't do the same thing. So you need to adapt and see what works for you, whether you have to modify the movements or lower intensity, fewer days, longer recovery time, all those things, an open mind and the willingness to learn.
So Jamie, you've been in exercise physiology and exercise science for a long time, and you know there are multiple pathways that someone can go to be able to be a practitioner, particularly in personal training. Why is it that someone should go to school, but particularly come to Owens for exercise science?
And authors, you can get a certification in personal training mm-hmm. without coming to Owens. You can do mm-hmm. the online training. You can, even the test that we take, the NSCA test, mm-hmm. you don't need to go to class for that. But the difference is you have a textbook and you're reading all these terms and you don't really know what they mean. You
right.
know, you have somebody who can explain them to you, somebody who can, you know, give you practice tests and quizzes to prepare for that. And then the hands-on experience right from the beginning is something that none of the online training can do. So I feel like the students that graduate from, you know, whichever program that they are in feel pretty comfortable when they get their first job because they've already had clients. They've already made programs and actually implemented them. They know how to do every single assessment because they've done it multiple times practicing and then on clients. So it's not like, all right, I passed this online test. Now I have a client.
What do I do?
The students here, they know what to do, and they get jobs right away. And if they want to go on, you know, to four-year university, they can do that too, but they can be working at the same time.
That's a really good point, because it's like there are lots of ways to learn skills or terminologies or past tasks. But when you're not truly learning it, or you're not in an environment that really helps create that link from like what you're reading theoretically into how to practically apply it, as well as learning from someone like you who has the benefit of experience and wisdom to help guide them not only in what they're seeing specifically, but other things that, you know, to be mindful of in their context. And to the point that you mentioned about our interprofessional education, how does that apply throughout someone's kind of healthcare world mm-hmm. Would really make a difference for someone.
Yeah, I think that is a huge benefit for the students that come here.
Jamie, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and learn more about your program. I am really excited that your program and your lab was featured in the transfer commercial.
That was fun.
It's nice to be able to highlight programs like yours because people don't often see the breadth of opportunities they have. And I think that, you know, even you talking about your experience exploring different career opportunities, none of it was a wasted exercise. It really, you know, all of those things combined to help you be the professional you are and what you get to share with our students every day. And so I'm grateful to learn more about your background, and I'm grateful that you're here at Owens. Jamie, thank you so much for being with us. I'm impressed with your passion for health and for your students. We're so grateful for your dedication to Owens, and we thank you for your time today. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.